You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. The conference took place in Washington, D.C. from October 25th through October 28th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name's Kate Childs, and I'm doing a master's at Mount Sinai Hospital at the moment, but I'm a clinician from the UK, cares for patients with HIV. So we did this study looking at vitamin D levels and PTH levels in 51 men on antiretroviral therapy, some of whom were on tenofovir FTC, some of whom were not. The main finding is that 39% of the patients with low vitamin D who were on tenofovir FTC had elevated PTH levels, by which I mean PTH levels above the upper limit of normal. Vitamin D insufficiency was also very common. It was present in about 82% of the overall sample, though there was no difference in vitamin D levels between tenofovir FTC and other antiretrovirals. So essentially, we found that a large number of patients on tenofovir FTC had elevated PTH. We'd recommend that clinicians test vitamin D and PTH levels on patients on tenofovir FTC. Having elevated PTH, obviously the main effect of that could be reduced bone mineral density, osteomalacia, risk of fractures, but it's also in other epidemiological studies been linked to hypertension, cardiovascular disease and other adverse health outcomes. So we think that vitamin D supplements and calcium supplements will completely mitigate this effect. So we think there is a really easy solution for this, but a clinical trial is needed to test this hypothesis. We haven't sort of shown it yet, but that's what needs to be done.
Can you tell us a little bit about the patient characteristics?
Sure. If you look, over here's the demographic. These were all men. The median age was 49, and they'd had HIV for quite a long time with a median of 12 years, and 80% were Caucasian. They were quite an affluent group of men. This is a private practice that the study was done in, and they had well-controlled HIV by and large, with a median CD4 count of 440, and 75% of them had undetectable viral load.
Tenofovir was not associated with lower vitamin D then?
No, that's really
important. Even though it was titled.
Yes. Well, the reason we say this is because even though the vitamin D wasn't lower in the tenofovir group, for a given level of vitamin D, the ones on tenofovir had a higher PTH, okay, which you can see here. And so we think that vitamin D will be the solution to this problem. So we think higher levels of vitamin D could overcome the elevated PTH. But as I said, we need to do a clinical trial to test that hypothesis.
I see. So, but this wasn't compared to non-infected men?
No, this was just comparing tenofovir FTC heart with other.
And the reason I ask about the non-infected men is I've seen studies that the general population in the north has lower or insufficient vitamin D. So this may not be a finding just with HIV-infected people.
Well, certainly. I mean, although the vitamin D levels were very low, so as I said, they were suboptimal and 82%, you're right. I mean, that is not necessarily that different from the general population. There's lots and lots of evidence that low vitamin D levels are common in the general population, especially in urban populations. The finding here is the elevated PTH levels, because the guys who were not on tenofovir FTC, they had low vitamin D, but they didn't have elevated PTH levels, and certainly not to the same extent. So we found nearly 40% of people on tenofovir with tenofovir FTC with low vitamin D had PTH levels above the upper limit of normal. That's really quite high. Okay, so we think that is abnormal.
Can you tell the people listening what a PTH level is?
Sure, sorry. So PTH is parathyroid hormone, and it's basically the hormone that controls the calcium levels in the body. So when calcium levels are too low, then PTH levels increase, and you can, sorry, see that over here. And so PTH acts on bone to draw calcium out of bone to maintain serum calcium, but of course, by drawing the calcium out of the bone, you get reduced bone mineral density. So that's why high PTH, it may maintain your serum calcium, but it'll be at the cost of your bone.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2008.